You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it. Thank you all for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor with Dr. Bukasi Dubé and myself, DJ Ambush. How are you this week?
Doing well, my man. Doing well. Good to see you.
Yes, good to see you. And we had the opportunity to see you this past weekend. That was really great. For anyone that missed our last episode, we did a little promo at the end for the things that were going on. OHA joined us here at the summer series at the Portland Art Museum, and they were doing free vaccinations. Well, better than free, paid vaccinations were happening Saturday afternoon here at the museum. And then we had opportunity to meet face-to-face finally. You know, COVID has kept us at a distance for so long. And it was like, hey, let's get out here and enjoy some fresh air. So we actually were hoping that you all have been taking the opportunity to safely go outside, enjoy some fresh air, get some exercise and all of those good things. If there is someone in your community that is looking to be vaccinated, check the notes in the show on our podcast. And we'll also be putting some things on the radio station website for up-to-date information on different places, different activations where free pop-up clinics are happening right now. And we'll have OHA working with us for the remainder of the summer series, providing vaccinations to anyone that just needs to walk up and get it done. Even if you've had just one shot, you can go to any of these pop-ups and get your second one done too. And if you haven't had any shots, you can, you know, start your whole thing there.
And what's important to note is that at these events, we're providing incentives for people to get vaccinated. So You come in, show up, get your shot, and get typically it's about $100 a gift card that you can get for getting vaccinated, for doing the right thing, for doing the safe thing, and protecting yourself while protecting the community as well.
Exactly. So if there, you know, maybe you didn't get the lottery, maybe you didn't get the $1 million hit in the lottery, but you can still get out here and get some gas money, you know, get some lunch money. $150, you know, take the kids out, do some mini golf, whatever works. Yeah. But yeah, come on out and get vaccinated. So we do have some updates. There was an announcement earlier this week about the Johnson & Johnson company vaccine. Could you tell us a little bit about that, Doc?
Yeah, so that's the CDC announced that they had noticed that in the vaccine adverse events reporting system, the VAERS system, they noticed that there are cases of this syndrome called Guillain-Barré. It's a syndrome. It's a neurologic disorder that occurs usually after an infection, some sort of infection. They've noticed that after vaccinating about almost 13 million people who have received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, about 100 people reported these symptoms. So again, I'll say these numbers again so that people understand what we're talking about. After vaccinating about 13 million people, there have been 100 cases reported of this syndrome, Guillain-Barré syndrome. So again, Guillain-Barré is a neurologic disorder that occurs typically after some sort of infection. We don't really understand the pathophysiology of Guillain-Barré. And we don't know if it's due to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, but because there's this temporal relationship with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, we're saying that just to be cautious, monitor yourself. If you start to get the symptoms that are related to, that are similar, are like the Guillain-Barré symptoms, contact your doctor.
What are those symptoms?
Good question. So the symptoms typically include numbness and tingling in your fingers and in your feet. They also include, you know, difficulty walking, difficulty talking, difficulty swallowing, a blurry vision, double vision, and muscle weakness. So in rare cases, it can lead to paralysis and even death, but it's incredibly rare.
Right.
And we have not seen this. Actually, no, that's not true. So there were, of the 100 cases, the vast majority were treated at home. There were a few people who ended up needing hospitalization. And okay. one person did actually die. But again, we cannot say that it is due to the vaccine. All we can say is that it's related to the vaccine in terms of the symptoms started 2 weeks after getting vaccinated.
And can you explain the difference between this syndrome being due to the vaccine and related to the vaccine? Because I think as we're all learning about all this, especially, just the general public having limited access and just, involvement with any of these discussions, some of the wordplay kind of can throw people off.
Yeah,
and it'll have us spreading some misinformation, because I know for me or anyone else that initially would hear this, like, oh, it's because of the vaccine. It's only happening with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Their vaccine's bad. It's because of the vaccine.
So that's actually, thank you for bringing that up. That's a very good question, in that we have to differentiate things that happen that we can say that there's an association, and that we can say that there is a causation. Mm-hmm. So association just simply means, hey, I ate spicy food today, and after eating spicy food, it rained. And tomorrow someone else eats spicy food, and guess what? It rains again.
Right.
There's an association between spicy food and it raining. But it doesn't mean that eating spicy food causes it to rain.
Gotcha.
Right? A causation would be something similar to, hey, whenever I get punched in the face, well, that's not a good analogy. Let me use the softer analogy. whenever I drink alcohol, right, I get tipsy, and I get and I fall asleep. I get drunk. Right. Fall asleep, right? Yeah. So the alcohol that you consumed causes you to be drunk.
Right.
Right. And it's not an association there. It's, you wouldn't be drunk had you not consumed the alcohol.
Exactly.
So that's a direct causation. Whereas in the other case, it just so happens that these things happened around the same time.
Right.
And I'm sure, actually, I know for a fact other people have come up with better analogies, but that's what I can think of in this very moment.
And before we move on to the next question, it is important that we constantly remind ourselves of the percentages here. We're talking about this, the death that occurred is the single death, which happened in a number that is still so rare out of the millions of people. 100 people have exhibited symptoms of the syndrome, and out of that 100, one person has passed away. So we still don't, it's not in the percentage where we should be scared to take this vaccine. And of course, we still have options. But one of the things I do love about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, because, now it's not like I'm like, I have vaccine favorites or something, like I'm shopping for vaccines. One of the things I love about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is that it's a single shot. So in situations where we're doing pop-up clinics, it may be difficult for someone to, locate another clinic, or, people's schedules change. Now you got to, find your vaccine card. When was the last time, to be able to do that? But to be able to just have it one and done, I think that's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's, it's one and done, and it's safe, it's effective, it's free. And nowadays you get an incentive for getting it.
Right.
I just wanted to touch on something else as well, that, so So with the other two vaccines, the mRNA vaccines, the Pfizer and the Moderna, they've administered about 321 million doses of these vaccines in the US, and there hasn't been a single case associated with Guillain-Barré syndrome.
Okay.
So that's something that's important to put out there. And again, just like the DJ just said, there is no causal relationship between these two events, getting vaccinated with the Johnson & Johnson and getting Guillain-Barré syndrome. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things that cause Guillain-Barré syndrome, you know, getting, you know, an infection, getting the flu, or even getting COVID itself can cause Guillain-Barré syndrome. So just putting it out there, making sure that you're informed, making sure that you know what you're getting yourself into, and also trying to reassure people that these vaccines are still safe.
Yes. Making sure you're informed, making sure you're having informed discussions and conversations. That is the point of the show. Please, listeners, that is the point. We want to make sure that we're arming you with the talking points and information important to spread the facts. No politicization involved. Just giving you the hard facts about what's happening and as things are changing from a week-to-week basis. How can people prepare to receive their vaccine?
Well, so in Oregon, we've administered quite a lot of vaccines at this point, with over 70% of the population being vaccinated. So it's the same thing that we've been talking about. When you're preparing to get vaccinated, make sure you're very well hydrated. Make sure you get good rest before and after getting vaccinated. Make sure you wear clothing that ensures that you know they can access your arm when your shoulder when you're getting the shot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the summer. Wear a t-shirt, right? So that you can pull up your sleeve just easily.
Yeah, don't wear a turtleneck to get vaccinated, guys.
I made that rookie mistake the first one when I got my first shot. I think this was back in January. So it was pretty cold then.
So staying hydrated, making sure you are wearing something where your sleeve or your arm is accessible. Those are two different ways. What if you have any symptoms, like if you're exhibiting like a fever, or not necessarily COVID-19 symptoms, but maybe you just have something else going on? Maybe you're in the middle of allergic reaction or something. What about those type of non-COVID related things that you could be experiencing? How does that affect your vaccination? And should you wait until you've gone through that already?
So that's. Thank you for pointing that out. That's a good thing to do. Avoid getting vaccinated when you're experiencing symptoms like fever or shortness of breath or headaches. Mm-hmm. Just wait until your symptoms have completely resolved, and then get vaccinated.
Is there a certain amount of time you should wait, even after the symptoms are resolved?
So you can schedule your appointment, you know, a day. Wait until 24 hours after your symptoms are completely resolved.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So people are getting vaccinated. What are some of the side effects, and like, which are the most common side effects, things people should expect?
So the most common, and this is common with all three vaccines that we have here in the U.S., right? You're going to have some people experience a little bit of pain or a reaction at the injection site, a headache, fevers may occur. It's incredibly rare. Let's say about 1 in 5 people will experience fevers and chills. Tiredness is actually more common than anything else. I always like to use examples that I have seen, right? When I got vaccinated, I didn't have any of these symptoms. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. However, my teenager, I have a teenager who, after she got vaccinated, after the first shot, she did just fine. After the second shot, she had muscle aches, and that was it. Mm-hmm. So it varies from person to person. Just know your body and make sure that you're doing the right things to ensure that you're taken care of. If you need to take time off or from work or from from other responsibilities, make sure you do that.
Yeah.
Don't schedule a heavy exercise day on the same day as when you get the vaccine, right?
Right. I didn't exhibit any reactions other than a little bit of soreness at the injection site for my first and second dose of the Pfizer vaccine. Here's the thing, though. These side effects, these symptoms are proof that the vaccine is working, as opposed to someone injected me with COVID and now I have COVID-19 and I'm sick. This is the body's creating the antibodies.
Yeah. So what's important to note is that when you get these vaccines, right, you're not getting the virus itself. You're only getting genetic material that teaches your body on how to make how to respond and how to fight the virus if you were to get it. So these vaccines do not contain the virus itself.
That is so very important to mention. I may even ask you to repeat it, because that's part of the myth. That's part of, you know, the stories that are out there. Like, you know, when you get a vaccine, they're giving you the virus. So why should I take it anyway? Why should I get the vaccine anyway if they're just going to give me the virus?
Yeah. So it's, again, you are not getting the virus itself when you're getting the vaccines. These vaccines do not contain the virus. Mm. They contain genetic material that teaches your body on how to, teaches your immune system how to make the cellular infrastructure, the factories in your body to fight this virus. They're very, very safe and very, very effective, incredibly effective, even against this new Delta variant that is spreading rapidly across our state and across the country.
Mm. Glad you brought that up. So what can people who have already completed their vaccination do to help increase safety for all of us? Like, you've already been vaccinated. Is it okay for them to be in public places without a mask? I know I'll keep my mask on me. Here at the museum, it's a wide open spaces, high ceilings, very well ventilated, temperature control. But if I get on the elevator, I put the mask on. I don't know who else is going to be in the elevator with me. If I'm having close up conversations, if I need to, I'm going to mask up. And I think for me, I'm vaccinated. I'm pretty, you know, I believe in the vaccine. I believe it works. But there's a level of, like, just wanting to give the other person some comfort, you know, like, respect that other person's space. And I don't know whether they've been vaccinated or not. I don't know where they are. And I think wearing masks all this time has been really good in just keeping us all a little bit healthier, because I'm sure the flu numbers have been down as a result of that, too.
That is so true. I'm glad you bring that up, right? Because it's important. I was at the Highland Haven Church yesterday, mm-hmm. and they had a vaccine clinic. And two people shared their stories, where one person got vaccinated because they live with someone who has a kidney transplant.
Mm.
And so that's what motivated them to get vaccinated. And that's what motivates them to continue to mask up in indoor spaces,
right?
In public indoor spaces, right? There was another person there who shared their story with that they have rheumatoid arthritis, and they take a medication that suppresses their immune system, and so they someone like that is, because their immune system is weak, they have mm-hmm. to wear their mask to protect themselves at all times, and they have to encourage those that they live with, those that they're around, to get vaccinated. So talking about situations where you should be masking up at all times, that's one situation where if you're around people that are immunocompromised, you need to, the ideal thing would be to continue masking. I still do that when I'm in public spaces that are indoors, like when we go to Costco, mm-hmm. you know, Trader Joe's, Fred Meyer, you name it, any store that I go to, I'm masking up, because it's, you know, a lot of people, it's an enclosed space, and
yeah.
I just want to make sure that I'm not the I'm not the one bringing the Delta variant to my unvaccinated 10-year-old.
Right. And so that's a really good point. We are vaccinated, but that doesn't stop us from being carriers of the virus.
Yes, yes. Your yeah. immune system will quickly destroy the virus, right?
Right.
Because you're vaccinated. But there is that window where you could potentially spread the virus. And then again, the other thing to remember is that these viruses, that this these vaccines are not 100%, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you could be the unlucky few that don't develop adequate amount of protection to protect yourself and therefore protect others around you.
Mm-hmm. So how does that work? Like, for instance, we're talking about being in a supermarket or any retail establishment. The science has developed and the information has increased where we're not overly concerned as we used to be with surfaces and being able to transmit the virus through touch. We're more concerned about, controlling it in the air and it's aerosolized, making sure we're not breathing in each other's faces. So in the situation where we are in a public space and, we're unmasked, unfortunately, and someone who is vaccinated does pick up possibly the variant or is holding, becomes a transfer point for the virus. How long does that happen? How long does that person in that state, like how long could they be contagious for?
It varies from person to person. The vast okay. majority of the time, if you're vaccinated, right, it's negligible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the vast majority of people who are vaccinated are not transmitting the virus.
Okay.
Because they completely destroy it really quickly. That's important to note. That's why it's important to get vaccinated, and that's why it's safe for the vaccinated folks to unmask if they're around other completely vaccinated people in indoor spaces.
Mm-hmm. Because yeah. even if any of us that are fully vaccinated, we're around each other, it's not going to transfer like that.
No, it is
very,
not.
Very low probability, extremely low probability.
It's so rare that, if that happens, you should go and buy a lottery ticket.
So a little bit earlier, you mentioned making sure you don't schedule too many big things or major things around the time that you're getting vaccinated. How can people take care of themselves after their vaccine, especially if they have side effects? Are there things they should avoid doing?
So after getting vaccinated, just do the regular things. Make sure you get enough rest. Make sure you're eating well. Of course, stay hydrated.
Mm-hmm.
Never hurts to stay hydrated, right? Always hydrate your body. Drink water. Drink as much water as you can. If you develop fevers or soreness, muscle aches, you can take some ibuprofen only after you've been vaccinated. That should help, with reducing the fever or reducing the muscle aches.
Okay.
But the main thing is just get good rest, eat well, stay hydrated. That's the main thing.
In the process of trying to stay hydrated, is it okay? Are there any adverse effects to consuming energy drinks?
Yeah, totally.
Electrolytes. Okay.
Yeah, totally. I'm not going to put a plug out there for any particular electrolyte drink, but any of the ones that are out there will do just fine.
Excellent. Okay. So for those that don't have side effects, those of us who don't have any side effects whatsoever, what does that say? I believe there was a point where I was hearing, for those of us that don't have side effects, it means that we never contracted the virus at any point. And for those of us that do have side effects, it was the opposite. That's what I was hearing. if you have side effects on your second shot, that means at some point you may have contracted it.
It is possible.
Uh-huh.
It could just be that your immune system is revved up and super energetic, so super jazzed up to fight this to build the necessary antibodies.
Right.
It's quite possible. The only way to know, right, would be if they did a blood test and looked at your antibody level prior to vaccinating you. So it's getting side effects just simply shows that your body is doing the right thing and creating the necessary antibodies to creating the necessary antibodies to protect you.
Right. You hear that, everybody? The side effects are a good sign. So stop spreading bad information. So right now, the use of face masks are still required in certain places, public transportation, including airports, airplanes, bus centers, and bus and train stations, detention centers for adults and youth, health centers such as clinics, hospitals, pharmacies, including those that are found in supermarkets, and shelters in transitional housing.
Yeah, that's that makes sense, right? Because you have these spaces, these small indoor spaces that may not have adequate ventilation. So, you're increasing the risk of spreading the virus. So that you protect others and you protect yourself, it makes sense to mask up.
Right.
And that's the reason why those places are the places that you mentioned still require that folks wear masks.
And the recommendation from the state are that people that who have not been vaccinated or are not fully vaccinated, they should continue to wear a mask, use disinfectant, and keep their distance in the following situations. So indoor places, if you are not vaccinated, you should be completely masked up and being as clean as possible. So it says indoor places, when you're surrounded by people you do not live with, especially if you do not know if they are vaccinated, and then open places where there are crowds like fairs or concerts. I think it's important that people remember that just because you're outside, it's not the same if you're outside and you're in the middle of 200 or 300 people. Our current vaccination rates as of the 13th of this month, 47,274 people above the age of 16 have been vaccinated. 102,130 people, 16 above, age of 16 and above in the population have been vaccinated. Let's see, 46.3 have been fully vaccinated. That's the percentage. And 5.5 are in progress. So is that basically in between the first and second? Okay.
So yeah, so we have about 46% of Black folks as of today being 46 point, I'd say 46.5% being having received at least one shot.
Okay. We gotta get these
So
numbers up.
so those are numbers for the Black folks in the city, especially in the Portland Metro. So the state is at a little over 70%, but in the Black community, we're still seeing 46.5%, which means that we need to do a better job ensuring that we bring that number up. Our goal as a state is to ensure that 80% of Black folks are vaccinated by the end of August. So I'll say that again, 80% of Black folks have to be vaccinated by the end of August. That's our goal. And everybody is on board on this, from the governor to OHA to all our local public health authorities and clinics and physicians' offices. Everybody is going full steam, trying to ensure that this number is reached. And that's part of the reason why we're having this conversation, right? And increase the vaccination rates in especially in the Black community.
If we don't hit, and understand, I do understand that, you know, the benchmark is by the end of August. What are the consequences of not hitting that? Are we going to look at possibly some more restrictions coming back?
Well, probably not. Probably
Okay.
not. It's just an it's an aspirational goal, right?
Got you.
It's something that we want to make sure that I'm sure you've heard the term herd immunity, right?
Yes.
When we reach 80%, that'll be amazing. We can go back to doing a lot of things that and doing those things freely, things that
Yeah.
we used to do in the past, right? Hanging out, having barbecues and picnics in the park, etc. You name it,
Yes.
we'll be able to do all those things. But not only that, protecting the vulnerable among us,
Right.
right? That's very, very important. So let's get together. Let's fight this together. The journey is not over just yet.
You heard it, folks. The journey is not over. We're basically at a halfway point of our goal. So let's do what
Yes.
we can. Let's spread the word. Let's get these numbers up. Thank you so much again, Doc, for sitting down and talking with us this week.
It's good to see you, my man. Thank you for taking the time.
Absolutely. And we'll be right
And get
back
vac
at it. Say
Hey,
again.
folks out there, get vaccinated. If you know anybody who wants to get vaccinated and they don't know where to go, the DJ is going to give you some information, either on the radio show or on the website. Go to the OHA website, go to the Multnomah County or Clackamas County website, and get information as to where to get vaccinated. And remember, there are incentives for getting vaccinated now.
Right.
Any shot you get, you're going to get $100, or you could even get $150. So make sure you get vaccinated.
Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.